This sermon is the last sermon in the series that I have been preaching. In fact, I'm going to be wrapping everything up today. Since the beginning of the year, I've been speaking about God's will. Now, if you'll look at this last one, it may throw some of you when you look at it. You say, oh, but Pastor, you were telling us all about this stuff. Now you're telling us God's will is impossible for us. Yes, God's will is impossible for us, but not Him. You have to understand, you can't start every day new. Why? Because you remember the past. Unless you have dementia or Alzheimer's, you remember yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before, and they will control you. We were just speaking about this in the men's ministry, and it just laughed. I got to laugh because God shows me that He's right here with your pastor, and He really is guiding me. Because how many of us live in the rearview mirror of life? When you're driving a vehicle, you've got this great big thing out there in front called your vision, okay? That's your front vision. But we live in the rearview mirror. We're looking in this tiny little thing, and we're seeing what's behind us. And when we live that way, you're headed for an accident. You are headed for a wreck because you cannot see what is in front of you. You are concentrated on the past. And the past will not guide you. The past can teach you, but it will not guide you. And it's so amazing because that was the last thing that happened. And it was like, holy cow, Lord, you had to get this in there to let me know that we're right on target, aren't we? Because here we are in life. You and I need to understand God's will is completely and totally impossible for us to achieve because of sin in us. Can I get an amen? We don't like that amen, do we? We don't like agreeing with that, do we? But it is the truth. It is who we are. We are a fallen people. And in order for us to understand God's will and become saved people, because that is God's will for each and every one of us, that we start every day anew in Christ Jesus, that the old is gone and the new has come. And we are here with Him in that moment. That's why it's called the present. It's the gift of God to each and every one of us to choose well once again. But it's impossible for us. Jesus was speaking to His disciples and to a group of people, and they said to Him, well, if it's this difficult for a rich man to get into heaven, you know, how can anybody get in? And Jesus said to them, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Because if you remember, Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle and for a rich man to enter into heaven. And I think it's so funny because over the years, you know, theologians and pastors have pontificated upon it. And they said, oh, well, there's a gate over in Israel. And it's a short gate. And in order for a camel to get through it, they have to get down on their knees and humble themselves and go through this thing. And the name of that gate's the eye of the needle. That is such a lie. There is no such place. Jesus was literally talking about a sewing needle. And a real camel. I might be able to put a camel through there one hair at a time, but that's about it. You need to understand, he's talking about an impossibility that is very real. Because of our sin nature, we cannot approach God. But God has made a way. Are we glad? But we are going to struggle with it. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, as I've been doing in these times past, please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And I give you fair warning, I will try to be good, but I have 3 pages of notes. I will try to be good. I'm looking at my time right now. I'm just at 30 minutes. From Philippians chapter 3, we are again in verses 12 through 14, where we were last week. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. verses 12 through 14. I spoke on these. I'm going to speak on these again. The Word of God is a well so deep that we cannot plumb it in one lifetime. And from Philippians 12 and 13, we read these words from the apostle. He says, not that I have already attained it, speaking of the fact that he is looking to become righteous, the fact that he is looking to be changed into that person of God, okay? And that's what we're all looking at, walking in God's will. He says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. There's that pressing on, right? That's the first one. Keep reading. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, what's that? Not living in the rearview mirror. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Because you and I know God wants us to move forward. He wants us to go forward. But Paul here twice in verses 12 and in verse 13 says, I press on. I press on. The word there, okay, is truly meant for us to understand that this is not going to be something that comes easy. We are going to have to strain against something, okay? In a race, what do you strain against? Other runners, right? You've just got to have that little bit more than the rest of them have. Well, in this, it's talking about our sin and what it does to us, the sin nature and how it pulls us down. But you and I need to understand that that struggle has been overcome through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? It is impossible for us to defeat the flesh outside of Christ Jesus. Because outside of Christ Jesus, we are slaves to the sin nature. If you don't believe me, look at the world. I just got an article yesterday from WND. And it spoke about the Church of England and what was going on over there. And it's so amazing because it's throughout the world. Okay, they have been dealing with this agenda far longer than we have in the United States. And the bishops of the Church of England sent a letter out because now you can have same-sex unions, civil unions over in England, but you can also have what they call heterosexual civil unions now. Without having to get married, you just live together and you get all the rights by your employers and all that other stuff, okay? Well, the Church of England sent a letter out. The bishops all got together because they said, we have to address this. And they said that they were going to hold to the biblical standard for men and women, that if you're going to live together in some type of union, we ask that you abstain, that you be sexually abstinent if you are a Christian. It infuriated the people of England. They sent a letter from several groups from the, here in the United States, it would be the LGBTQ, PDRS, UV, XYZ, okay? And all the others. And their letter was, quite frankly, this. We are so disappointed that you have decided to take this stance. We have spoken to you on many occasions and told you our displeasure, and you have ignored us and have instead chosen to stand to a biblical stature. I think you're talking to the bishops of the church. They better be. And this is where our world is. Our world wants us to do the things of this world. That's the sin nature. We cannot, outside of Christ, get away from it. And I hate to tell you this, but there are many people in the church who are in the flesh because Christ is not in them. And for those of you out there on the internet who are watching this, I pray you understand that as well. Because I need you to get connected with a good church We're a good church, but you're not connected. You're watching us on video. You need to get connected. Where just moments ago, we went around and hugged each other and said, I love you. I'm glad you're here. You need that. You need that. Amen, brothers and sisters. Because that is where you're going to find strength. When the tough times come, where do we find strength? God gives us human arms. I got goosebumps so bad right now, my shirt ought to be off. Off my skin, I'm sorry. That didn't come out right. Charles is like, yeah, that would not be a pretty picture. But we need that gathering together. We need that strength that comes from one another, because God indwells each of us. And there are times when I need a physical touch from God, when I just need to be hugged by somebody who has no agenda but to love me because of who I am. That I am a child of God. And God in you wants me to know that. And God in me wants you to know that. No other reason. There's nothing else coming here. There's no agenda. Just to be loved because God loved us. Amen. 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 Because in that we can begin to walk in the will of God. In that we can find the strength to overcome the things of this sin nature. That we can walk hand in hand, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, back to back. Because iron sharpens iron. Amen? You and I know that when we're walking with somebody else, we can gain encouragement to walk even further. I think it's amazing when we start to think about this word that we're to press on. What kind of things are we going to press on into? And how is this going to work out? And where is it going to lead us? And oh my goodness, God, there's so much. You know, we look at where we are and we know this is tough. Do you know in Matthew, Jesus spoke about this? In the book of Matthew 26 and 41, he says, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Even when we come to Christ, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. We need others along beside us. We need the ingathering. We need to be a body together. I don't know how your body works, but if I took my arm off and laid it on the ground, it wouldn't do anything. It has to be attached, connected, alive. And that's the way we need to be in the body of Christ. And I think this is so amazing because the world has taught us that we are an army of one. It's all about me and what I want. Well, how's that working for you? That's a lonely place. And there's a lot of people to fight. But when you have people around you that love you and are willing to encourage you and you're willing to encourage them, it's not such a hard fight. It's easier to accomplish the goals that's set before us. Well, what kind of things are we going to come against? Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. From verse 8 through verse 11. Now, I'm using the NASB, but I'm going to paraphrase it to the NIV just for two words, okay? In the NASB, verse 8 says this, we are afflicted in every way. However, as you all know, Pastor believes that we are to use many translations because the translations give us the nuances of the words that God uses in the Greek because our definitions and the Greek definitions are different. And in the NIV, it is translated, we are hard pressed in every way. There's that pressing again. Okay? We are hard-pressed in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. What does that mean? He starts talking about all these different things that are going to come at us. You know, we're going to be afflicted, we're going to be crushed, perplexed, despairing, persecuted, forsaken, struck down. And then he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. What is the dying of Jesus? The dying of Jesus is the sacrifice for sins. Not his sins, our sins. Jesus died that you and I would not have to. And when Christ is in us, his death is in us. He paid a price that we couldn't pay. And therefore, we are now dead to sin, just as Jesus was dead to sin, but alive, because the verse doesn't stop there. The verse goes on and says, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Can I get an amen on that one? Because as he is manifested in our body, the resurrected Jesus Christ, we now have the power of life in us once again. The life that was robbed from us back in the book of Genesis, when great, 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 etc., Grandma and Grandpa, Adam and Eve, sold it for a meal. And now, the life of Jesus Christ, the resurrection life, the life of power is in us. Why? Because we carry around in ourselves the remembrance of his death. He paid a price that we could never pay. And in that, we are free. Brothers and sisters, I want you to remember this. These are Christ's words. If the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free from your sins. You are free from the curse of those sins. You are able to overcome the things of this world. We can begin to operate in God's will, walk in the sanctification of the Word, because it is through the Word that we are sanctified. You and I need to understand that God has given us that power. He has predestined us for our inheritance. He has given it to us now while we are yet alive. Not something we have to wait until we're dead to receive. While we are alive in Christ Jesus, because we're already dead in sin, we are alive. And our inheritance is now, and we can become the image of God once again. And the will of God can affect our lives. But as soon as we start walking away from that, as soon as we start disobeying the Lord, we will find ourselves once again persecuted by him. Verse 11 from 2 Corinthians 4. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We are going to struggle against this world and against the sin in this world until the day we die. Why? So that the life of Jesus may be manifested in us. Because we have the ability to accept God's will, the salvation of God. We have the ability to accept God's will, the transformation of ourselves to the image of his child. He does not care what you want to become, all right? He does care. I say that because people, you know, they're like, well, what does God want me to be? God wants you to be the best at whatever you want to be. Okay? You know, he didn't make me to be an auto mechanic. God made me to be a machinist. And then, well, I guess I made me to be a machinist because look where I are. I was a good machinist. I could build an engine block. I could build the pistons and the rings and the crankshaft, you name it, I could build it. Ask me to put it together and make it work? No. That's not my expertise. And many of you know what you're good at. You know where God has your niche. That's where he wants you to be, where you're happy. You know, I'm going to tell you all something right now. The hardest job I've ever had in my entire life is the one I have right now. It is the hardest thing I've ever done. While I have been doing this job in the last 22 years, my hair went from a beautiful red-brown to white-gray. According to the Bible, that's wisdom. According to Rich Dubs, I'm getting old. I'm beginning to understand. I was told when I went to college, if there's anything else that you feel like doing, go do it. Because you're going to be lousy at being a pastor. But if your heart is here, if God has called you, then give your heart to God. And He'll give you the strength to do what you're doing. So I'll guarantee you right now, I could not do what I do if it were not for the call of God on my heart and on my life. And that's what you need to understand too. You know, Charles is getting ready to head off to college here in just a few short months. Going to be working on diesels and operating big equipment. I want him to be the best at it that he can be. But while he's there, I want him to walk in the salvific grace of God and become the image of Christ in that career line. I look at Brother Daniel and Miss Gloria, okay? Now, they're just a young married couple, okay? Just a young married couple. But they knew each other years back, when they both worked for the government. And they were both wonderful Christian brothers and sisters, and they emulated that to one another. And all of a sudden, in their older years, when the two of them were single because their spouses had passed and they were living lives separate and alone with their family around them, and Ruthie's here today, praise God, all of a sudden, God brought them to remembrance. And through that remembrance, they're together. Did they plan it? Did they make it happen? No. But God, through their lives, made it happen because they were doing the best that they could, and they remembered one another, started a phone call, and that phone call turned into a marriage. Isn't that amazing? Gee, aren't we such smart people? I'm sorry, we can't do stuff like that. I mean, considering the fact, now I'm going to let you folks out there on the internet know something. Considering the fact that this dear saint had a little piece of paper on her shelf above her telephone, and all of a sudden one day it just happens to fall off. Just happens to fall off. So she prompts a phone call. Do I know my people or do I know my people? I could go around this room and start picking on some of you. I pick on the ones that I know will be okay with it, okay? Because I'll tell you right now, some of them can get personal and really harsh. And I love you. We're here with you. And some of them are fun and exciting and, oh, wow, you know. And others, we're just starting some new roads down here. You know, we got little ones on the way up and we're learning as we go, amen. And for some of us, we're like, hey, they're out of the nest. We're done with these. Get them out of here. Pack them up. Ship them out. If it fits, it ships, right? We need to remember. Do the best with who you are and what God has given you. He does care what you are and what you're going to do. But He doesn't need to direct it. You get to choose it. But then in choosing it, choose God to be as Him in that career, in that life, raising your children, in your marriage, in your schooling, in your lives. Because as we do, we can go forward because the life of Christ is manifest. Manifest, what does that mean? Comes to us. It is given to us. The life of Christ is given to us. And that is a resurrected life, a life of power. For we have not a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power. And in that power, we can conquer all things. For we are more than conquerors in the love of God through Jesus Christ. You and I need to remember, outside of Christ, we cannot make anything good happen in our lives. All we're going to do is scramble around like the world, screaming and clamoring to get one little piece of joy, one little piece of hope. I want you to look around. I'm going to tell you all something right now, and I hope you understand this to the fullness of my heart when I say it. When I look at you people, and it's funny because, you know, you folks come in and you shake my hand and we hug and we talked about this today. You know, I'll tell you I love you. I don't say those words in jest. I mean those words. I mean those words. Why? Because Christ loved me. The wretch that I am. And that love has changed me. It has taught me things that I could never understand otherwise. And I want to give him away every moment of every day. And I am going to love you as much as you will allow me. And I'm talking holy love, godly love, not this stuff the world throws around. I'm talking about the love of God for a sinner who gives up his sin for the righteousness of Christ. And life is changed. I mean, I can think of a brother right now. We have been praying for him. I have been a pastor with some of you people for over 20 years. And this one young gentleman I've been praying for that entire time. And you know what? This year I'm going to get to rejoice with him because things have changed. Things have seen the glory. And his life is moving forward in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean everything's going to come up roses for him? Wrong chicken. Please understand, we are going to be hard-pressed. We are going to need to understand that Paul here is talking to us in an active forward movement. That we are going to be hard-pressed here and now. It's going to be a fight for your life. Is your life worth every moment that you can put the energy into it? It better be. And when we get to the end of this, I'm going to show you why. Because there is things in store for you that you would have no idea the meaning thereof other than with Christ in your heart. But you and I need to understand that God died because of our sin. He said that if he dies for us and sets us free, we're free indeed. You and I need to walk in that. Accept the freedom of God to do God's will, to understand he has a plan for you. Every day is new to you. God doesn't hold anything against you that happened yesterday. Can I get an amen on that? God wants you to walk in the salvation that he has prepared for you. Can I get an amen on that? God wants you to be transformed to the image of his son because then he can call you child of God. Can I get an amen on that? When you and I walk as Christ has taught us to walk, we know that we will be changed. You cannot walk in the love of God and not be changed. I don't care how hard you try. And believe me, I know people in the church who have tried. They kick at the goads. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We've had some of them growing up with us called rebellious children. You know? Boy, just wait. You haven't even gotten there yet. You don't have to wait. It does get better. But it has its moments. Amen? And all of us have our moments. Amen? But God doesn't get bitter. God helps us get better. How does he do that? Well, I want you to realize something. 2 Corinthians 4 is where our church verse comes from. Please look at your bulletin. It's been on there since we became a church. Because it is for this reason. This is what has happened to you and I. that we can truly be changed, that we can truly walk in the will of God. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." He made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And from verse 7 in your Bibles, "But we have these treasures in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." Do you understand that? God wants the glory that others see from us, that we even see in ourselves, to be known that it is His power working in us unto the world, that everyone may see that God is manifest in our lives. Now, I want you to think about that. How many of you, when you're out there and you're being righteous and you're being good and you're being holy and everything's going wonderful and you're feeling good about yourself, and all of a sudden you do something stupid, dumb, and ignorant, and everybody's pointing the finger at you and, "Oh, look what the Christian did"? How do you feel at that moment? I don't want to look at anybody too long because I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about them. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking to you. Because the reality is, how many of us could keep our hands down and say, "I've never done that"? I'm talking to all of us. The world is going to look at us and point out all our mistakes. Guess what we should be doing? Pointing out all our mistakes to the world as soon as they happen. "Oh, please forgive me for that. Please forgive me for that." You know, I think about where we are. You know, God wants us to be Christ to the world. We need to remember, get rid of the attitude, okay? We need to have an attitude of gratitude, not an attitude of bitterness, not an attitude of sharpness, not an attitude of "I'm better than you" or you know, you're this, you're that. We need to have an attitude that simply says, "I need to show this person, whomever it is, whatever the situation is, the love of Jesus Christ." I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take you a while to get there, because this world has seasoned you, has tempered you, each and every one of us, even you young folks out there. Because how many times has the world beat you down? How many times have you heard no, 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 no? You know, there's a saying, you know, a little boy thought at one time his name was No, No. I'm sure we've all been there. I can remember being told by my own father, "You're worthless." Many, 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 many times. To the point where I began to believe it, so I began to live a life of worthlessness. But then you see, God told me who I was. He said, "You're my son." He said, "You're my child. You are heir to the promise. You are heir to everything. You are heir to my love and the power therein. You are heir to it all. I love you so much, I'm going to die for you." My father just wished I would die. Make his life a lot simpler. To the point when I was 18 years old, I all but committed suicide. Please understand that. I love my dad. My dad became a Christian in the last months of his life. And I praise God for that. Oh, I praise God for that. I can't wait to meet him again, because he'll be a whole different man than I knew. And I can't wait to get there. And many of us have had to deal with that in this world. Many of us have had to deal with other people that were there. And it's hard, because you and I are going to deal with people like that every day, because this world is full of people who have no hope. But we have the hope of God in us. And that hope of God tells us to continue on, to press forward, to not give up. Because when we do, God's promises are ours. And I'm going to end this, puppy. But I'm going to end it right now with the reason you need to keep going. I'm going to read these scriptures. I don't want you to turn there. I'll give you the references if you want to write them down. These are all from the book of Revelation. Every one of them from the last book of the Bible. Because God says we are to press on. How far? To the end. To the end. Here is what He says to us from Revelation 2 and 7. "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Revelations 2 and 11. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Revelations 2 and 17. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. From Revelations chapter 2, 26 through 29, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. Revelations 3 and 5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Revelations 3 and 12. To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from God. And I will write also on him my new name. Revelations 3, 21 and 22. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You and I need to understand that last part. He didn't say to the individuals, he said to the churches. You need to be plugged in to a church that is teaching and giving the biblical word of God, no matter what this world has to say. If the pastor standing up front does not believe the Bible, he better be out the door. And this is your last scripture. And he said to me, "It is done." This is Revelation 21, 6 through 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. We do not need what the world has in store for us. We do not need the things of this flesh, of this sinful world. What we need are the things of God. And he says to us, to him who is thirsty, if you are truly longing for life, he says, come to me, and I will give you drink without cost, and it will well up into you, because it is the spring of the water of life. And we will be with him forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the flesh, or are you going to serve the Spirit of God? It's your choice. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one answer that leads to life, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.